to John chapter 12 tonight. John chapter 12, and if you'd find verse 42. John 12, 42. It's great to see everyone here tonight. Good to see some faces I haven't seen in a couple weeks. And thankful for all of our young people. What a blessing. I want to say I'm proud of you young people. Thankful for you standing up and singing for the Lord. Some of them thought they were too cool to stand up here and sing in the junior choir for a minute, but they repented and they came back, and I'm thankful for that. If you're able, let's stand. John 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the day, for last week that you gave us, Lord, and how you've provided for us. Father, we are thankful for the freedom and ability to come together, to assemble, to worship you, and sing your praises and pray together and spend time around your word together. I pray that you'll bless your word by the power of your spirit tonight to teach us, to guide us, and help us to grow in your grace and knowledge. Father, we pray for those that are unable to be with us. We pray that you'll give healing and grace and strength and comfort in their lives. Lord, we know that you are sovereign over all things, and I just pray that you'll help us to grow in faith. Lord, please help as we look into the word tonight, convict our hearts. And if there's one who hears the message tonight who's never believed on Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight they would trust in you with all their heart. And Father, if there's anyone who's believed on Jesus but's never confessed him openly and publicly, and Lord, they've been ashamed of Jesus, they've been ashamed of the gospel, I pray you'd convict their heart tonight. I pray that we would never deny you, not with our lips nor with our lives, but that we would trust in you with all our hearts and confess you publicly, faithfully. And Lord, we would do it by the power of your Spirit. Please help us. Lord, we're nothing without you. And Lord, just please help us to grow, that we would want you to have glory more than we want anything else. Please help, for we pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We read last time at the end of verses 37 through 41, as Brother Ben preached that, we saw back in verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. This was a fulfilling of prophecy because they believed not. God would give them over to a blinding to their eyes where they would choose not to believe. He would give them over to that. We see that understanding, that principle in Romans chapter 1. Those who deny Christ, God will at some point, we don't know when that is, he'll give them over to a reprobate mind. When they choose to turn away from him, choose to reject him, though they've seen his power and his miracles, though they had heard his truth and knew that he spoke like never a man spoke before, they were amazed by his doctrine, yet some of them, many of them, did not believe. But notice what it says in verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. So while there were many who didn't believe, there were many who did believe. But there's something interesting about these who believed among the chief rulers. They did not confess. They were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. I draw your attention to John chapter 9 and verse 22. John chapter 9, and you might remember this, where the man was healed, being born blind. And in verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. You remember the parents of the man who was born blind and Jesus healed him. They were trying to figure out who healed him and trying to figure out whether they would call him the Christ or not. But they didn't want to answer. They didn't want to say anything about it because they were terrified of being put out of the synagogue. Now we see this back in our text in John 12, 42, that these who believed on Jesus, they believed that he was who he said he was. They believed he was sent from God the Father. They believed him. They believed his message, but they were afraid to confess that publicly because they were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. Now, most of us, I think, would have a hard time comparing that to anything. The only thing I can think of that would be even remotely close to us today would be being put out of the church, to be excommunicated. I don't know why when I was growing up they would use the phrase, they'd say somebody got churched. I never understood that. I still don't understand it. Listen, when somebody's put out of the church, what it means, they're excommunicated. It means that church discipline is done because someone is living in public and open sin and they refuse to repent. And that's a terrible thing. That's an awful thing. It's something that no church should ever want to do, but it's done with the hope of restitution. It's done with the hope of reconciliation. It's giving someone over, putting them out of the church in order that they might go through some time of chastisement, that they might come back and repent. We see that example in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. They're encouraged to put someone out. And in 2 Corinthians, I believe he's referring to the same men. He says, now bring them back in. It's been enough. They've repented. Bring them back in. And so that's always the hope. Now, I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to even imagine what it would be like to be put out of the church. Can you imagine? You just think for a second that if at the end of services tonight, if I were to say, does anybody have any word or announcement? Somebody says, say, hey, Brother Isaac, I've got something to say. And somebody brought your name up and said, this brother or this sister has done this or that or whatever. And I've tried to reconcile with them, tried to make it right, but they refused to. And that the church had to vote to put you out of the church. Could you imagine what that would be like? Some of you are getting mad right now thinking about it. If you're getting angry right now, you might want to repent of that. Some of you are kind of bothers you down in this area right here just thinking about it. Just can't even imagine. It's hard for us to, I think, get the Jewish mindset of what that would be like to be put out of the synagogue. I think we can't really understand how important that was to them. From the time they were born, synagogue was where you went to learn about God. Synagogue is where you went to meet with God. Synagogue was where the Word of God, that the scrolls were kept. This was a sacred place. It was a holy place. It was a place where everything in their connection with God would be connected to the synagogue if you weren't in Jerusalem where the temple was. And so this was very big to them. It was very important to them. It was part of their identity, and they couldn't imagine being put out of the synagogue. Now, you might say, well, they were the chief rulers, and so obviously they were just super prideful, and there may be something to that. But the point is, they believed on him, but they wouldn't confess him because they were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. Now, I want you to hold your place right here. I want to ask you to turn back to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You just stop right there and say, amen. Amen. Listen, don't be afraid of mankind. Be afraid of God. Amen. And that's a fear, that's a reverence, that's an awe, but it's also fear. Amen. And he says, listen, nothing happens on this planet. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground without God taking note of it. God knows. And he knows the very hairs of your head. That's amazing. I don't know if you ever think about that, but that's amazing. God knows the number of the hairs that are on your head this second. Amen. And some of you go like this, and some more fall out. And he knows that too. Not a hair falls from your head that God doesn't know it. And he loves you, and you're valuable to him. So don't be afraid. Now I want you to consider God who knows the number of the stars and knows them all by name. I want you to consider the God who knows you and loves you and cares enough about you to keep track of how many hairs you have on your head. This God that loves you, fear him, love him, serve him. But look at this in verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Man, that's encouraging. If you believe on Jesus and you confess that he is Lord, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. I'll say your name before my Father in heaven. When you confess me here, I'll confess you there. Amen. Isn't that awesome? To know that Jesus Christ will take your name to the throne of God, that he'll confess your name before his Father in heaven. But he doesn't stop there. He says in verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Amen. If you confess Christ here, he'll confess you there. But if you deny Christ here, he will deny you there. Amen. Now, there are some people who look at our text and they would say, well, these men, they believed, but they didn't confess, so there's no way they were really saved. And other people would say, well, they believed, and that's all it takes is to believe. But you don't have to confess. You could be a secret disciple. Where might they get that idea from? How about John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verses 38 to 42. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Joseph of Arimathea, and I believe, following the context, Nicodemus as well, these men were disciples. These men were believers of Jesus. These men were following Jesus, but they were doing so secretly. So there would be some who would say, if you believe but you don't confess, then there's no way you're saved. Others would say, if you believe, you don't necessarily have to confess. As long as you believe, you can still be saved. And some of you might be looking at me tonight and say, well, Pastor, which way is it? Do you have to believe and confess to be saved? Or can you just believe and you can kind of keep it to yourself? I just want to ask you this question. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he is God, that he's the creator of the universe, if you believe that God came down as a man and he lived a sinless life, that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that Jesus, who was the one who would by his death, by the shedding of his blood, he would take away your sins forever. If you believe that, he, by faith in him, has given you eternal life, that he's forgiven your sins forever, that you have fellowship with God through faith in him. If you believe that, then why in the world wouldn't you confess that? You can debate it and you can argue about it and you could say there's no way if you believe and don't confess that you could be saved. You could go to Romans chapter 10 and you say, listen, he says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then you're saved. You have to call on the name of the Lord. And you could debate those things all that you want to. I just want to tell you this. If Jesus is someone who you've believed in, if he is your Savior, then you ought to confess him. It shouldn't be an argument because it's not worthy of the name of Christ to deny him with your life. Amen. You may say, well, I've never denied him with my lips, but if you're denying him with your life, that's unworthy of who he is. That's unworthy of what he's done for you. That's unworthy of the holy name of the one who created all things, the only true God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not deny him with our lips, but many of us may be denying him with our lives. And when he said, if you deny me, that word deny means to disavow. It means to reject. This is someone who has turned away from God. They say he's not who he said he is. They say he's not done what he said that he did. And I just tell you, I meet people in our community sometimes who are confused about these things. I've talked to a lot of young people lately who say things like, I'm not even sure that Jesus ever existed. It's an astounding thing to me that somebody would believe in Christopher Columbus but not believe in Jesus Christ. People will believe in Napoleon Bonaparte, but they won't believe in Jesus Christ. They'll believe in Genghis Khan, and they'll believe in Alexander the Great. They'll believe in all of these figures from history. And I want to tell you, there's more evidence, not only for the life of Jesus, but for the death and resurrection of Jesus. There's more evidence for that historically than for any figure that you believe in history. Our faith is not a blind faith. Our faith is based on the facts of the Word of God. And you say, well, I don't know about the Word of God. I don't know if I can believe the Bible. It was written by men. I want to challenge you to study the Word of God, to examine the Scriptures, to try them, to test them. It will hold up. Amen. It will hold up. Amen. Listen, many have been skeptics of the Bible. And many of them, as they've been skeptics of the Bible, have set out to prove the Bible to be untrue. And in their efforts, many of them have only become some of the most faithful Christians ever to exist. As they set out to prove the Bible to be false, they found that they could not find it to be false. They only found it to be true, and they put their faith in the one who they said didn't even exist. Listen, you say, well, I don't believe. I say, test it. Test it. Study it. Don't believe because I say so. Believe because he says so. But I got a suspicion. You ever have those sneaking suspicions? I got a suspicion that most people tell me that they're not sure whether the Bible's real or not because it was written by men. Most people that say things like, I'm not even sure Jesus really ever existed, most of those people don't actually have anything. They just are looking for an excuse not to care. It's not that they actually don't believe in Jesus or actually don't believe the Bible's real. They just don't want to think about it. Amen. You know, Romans 1 talks about them. Because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Amen. They're people who don't want to think about eternity. They don't want to think about God because they don't want to be held accountable to God. And my heart breaks for them. And so should yours. Because as they deny God, as they deny the Holy One, they trample underfoot the Son of God. Amen. And one day, they'll kneel before the one they denied. And would to God they would kneel now and confess Him as Savior. Amen. There were those who believed, but they didn't confess. I do want to give you a fair warning tonight. If you'd look in Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. He says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. You see, the Bible tells us that there are some who believed in God. They believed in Jesus, but they didn't profess Him with their lives, with their lips. They didn't confess Him. This word profess and confess, it's the same word in the Greek. There are others who professed Him, but they didn't possess Him, and it was made evident by the way they lived their lives. Amen. Is everybody tracking what it says here? There are those who are defiled and unbelieving. And because they're not believing, even though they profess God, they don't possess God. And it's made evident by the way they live their lives. So what do we take away from all of it? The takeaway is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But don't just believe him in your heart. Confess him with your mouth. But more importantly, confess him with your life. Let your life be the evidence that you are a believer. Our lives should be bearing fruit to the glory of God. I want to ask you to look real quick at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are in death right now. The wrath of God is abiding on you right now. But you can repent. You can change your mind about who you are. You can change your mind about sin. You can change your mind about God. You can change your mind about Jesus. Tonight, you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can believe that he is Messiah, the Christ, the promised one. You can believe that he died to pay for your sins. You can believe that he rose again the third day. You can believe on him. And when you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Call on the name of the Lord. Trust in him with all your heart. And when you do that, confess him with your lives. There are so many people, I think, fall into these categories today. There are those who believe, but they're denying him with their lips and their lives. They're not confessing him. I believe there are those who are professing them, but they've never possessed him. They've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the call of Scripture is to do both. Trust in him and let your lips and your lives confess him. So if you're not saved, trust in him tonight. If you are saved, then you confess him publicly. And you know the very, very best way to do that is by following Christ in baptism. That you publicly identify with Jesus through the baptismal waters. You follow the example of Christ. You follow the commands of Scripture. It's the very first step of obedience in following Jesus. And I am amazed at how many people in our modern Christianity today will say that they're saved, but they'll never follow Jesus in baptism. I want to challenge you, if you are saved, that you let the world know. Stand up for the one who laid down his life for you and lived for him. Tonight I want to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Who would you rather have pleased with you today? Other people or God in heaven? Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Worry about what God knows. If he's convicting your heart, you follow him. You do what he's convicting you to do tonight while we sing.